Romans 11, verse 17, "And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature, and wert grafted in contrary to the nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree?" So you can imagine there were those who did not feel that there was any hope left, you know, for the Jewish people. They had missed, rejected their Messiah. Therefore, God was done with them. So you can kind of feel the overtones of that in what Paul's saying here, and using this illustration of this olive tree and the natural branches and the wild branches. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. And we want to speak this morning on the olive tree. Last week we kind of just defined some things and looked at some definitions that we found in the text. Father, we bow once again in your presence, and we come humbly, Father, before you and confess that we are not sufficient of ourselves. We've already seen this morning how that we must abide in the vine if we're going to produce any fruit. And so, Father, we want to abide in the vine this morning. We want to abide in, Father, the fatness of the olive tree that we have mentioned here, the richness of the olive tree. We want to abide by faith in Christ. We want to abide in him, for without him we can do nothing. And so, Father, we just look unto you. We ask of you for your grace, for your help, for your mercy, for strength, for understanding. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, in our text, once again, we have this olive tree that Paul mentions here. A tree that we said last week, in its inception, we actually have a chart in the schoolroom, and it shows, you know, Adam and Eve, and then it kind of, you know, just goes on down to, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that initial outline of the chart, you've got Adam and Eve, and then on down through, you know, Noah, and then you get to Abraham, and things begin to branch. So we were talking about last week about this olive tree in its inception being, in its beginnings, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the reason why, you know, we're chiefly that we're talking about, you know, Abraham and its inception is because of Abraham by faith. And in what we've read here, we're told that it's by faith that we stand. It's by faith that we stand. You know, what standing do we have? It's only by faith in Christ. We on the solid rock I stand. All other ground is seeking sand. So, you know, it's by faith. And so here Abraham, we know, you know, as the father of the faithful, so to speak. So we were talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the inception of the tree that's grown in, this root that's grown into a tree, were these branches in the olive tree, the branches that are in the olive tree, are they there by virtue of the fact that they're born unto Abraham? Well, we've got two things that we could talk about there. One, you know, is that there, when you mention Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, there's in Abraham's sense, there's a son missing, isn't there? Abraham had two sons, didn't he? What was the name of the other one? Ishmael. Uh-huh. And then when you get to Jacob, there's somebody missing as a son, isn't there? Esau. So, you know, it's not, why do we have that mentioned to us? You know, we've already looked at that in our study in Romans. But what we see is that it's not by virtue of natural birth, this being in the kingdom, this being a part of this olive tree, it's not by virtue of being a son of Abraham physically. We're talking about spiritual children, because then that gets to the second thing I was going to say, is the fact that we've been grafted in, and by virtue of us being grafted in, we haven't become a Jew, right? So this tree, we want to try to identify, in a sense, you know, what this tree is a little more than what we've already done. Scripture says that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So what was Isaac a child of? He was a child of what? Promise. He was a child of promise. God had promised that child. It was going to be something that God had done. And when we think about salvation, salvation's of the Lord, right? So this isn't something that we do. I can't save people. I can tell people about Christ. I can share the gospel with them, but I cannot save them in and of myself. That is something that God, you know, it's back to the beginning of Romans and Paul saying, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the, and we went over this several times, so hopefully somebody can finish the sentence. It's the power of God unto salvation to all them that believe, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek. So Jew and Gentile, a part of this tree, the power of the gospel. It's not my power, not Paul's power, not your power. It's God's power. It's the power of God unto salvation, the gospel is. So, in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Now, Abraham tried to produce an Isaac, but what did he get? He got an Ishmael. He didn't get an Isaac. That was not what God had said for him to do. They got tired of waiting. And in their getting tired of waiting, they decide that they would do something in order to help God out and produce the thing that God had promised. Does God need our help to produce what he's promised to produce? No. We need to wait upon the Lord. We need to be looking unto him. We don't need to go off over here and decide that we're going to do something that we think is going to look like what God said, because, you know, when you think about Saul, he got tired of waiting for Samuel, didn't he? You know, and he began to sacrifice, you know, and do the thing that he wasn't called to do. But, you know, here we're talking about the child of promise. You know, where'd this tree come from? It didn't just spring up out of the ground of its own accord. God called Abraham out of where he was into a land that he didn't even know where he was going. And you talk about when the scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. I mean, how are you going to get somewhere if you don't know where you're going? And so God had called him to go to a place that he didn't even know where he was going. He was just following the Lord. It was like the children of Israel, you know, out in the wilderness, and you had that cloud of pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They didn't know where they should go. But when that cloud moved, they moved. And when that pillar of fire moved, they moved. You know, and that's the way that we ought to be. Examples are coming, you know, to my mind as I'm thinking about this. But you think about David and the sound of the going and the tops of the mulberry trees. You know, he'd ask God, "Shall I go now? Shall I go now? Shall I go now?" You know, no, when you hear the sound of the rustling of the leaves, the sound of a going in the top of the mulberry tree, then, you know, I will have delivered the enemy into your hand. What would have happened if David had said, "Somebody go shake that tree, because then there's going to be a rustling of the leaves and we can go. But we need to help God out. Apparently there's not any wind and, you know, we can't wait all day. You know, we're going to run out of supplies, stores, whatever, you know, people would think about. You know, we're right now we've got the advantage. You know, we have our enemy where we want them. You know, at this time of the morning, you know, they're not up. There hasn't, you know, been the trumpet, you know, sound awake. The bugle hasn't sounded to wake everybody up and get them, you know, assembled. You know, we can attack right now. Then we're going to have the victory. That's our thinking. You know, that's wrong thinking. God says, when you hear the sound of a going on the top of the mulberry tree, then it could be the worst time of day. There could be a greater enemy. They could have greater weaponry. All kinds of things that we could think about in that regard. And still God deliver the victory, you know, unto David. So we had Abraham produce an Ishmael, but we don't find Ishmael in this tree. We had a Jacob and an Esau, you know, so we can use a different example. And we looked at this when we were going through it here in our study in Romans. So, because one person could say, well, and this is what we talked about at that time, you've got an Isaac and Ishmael. They both had the same father, but they had different mothers. But that's not the case with Jacob and Esau. With Jacob and Esau, it was the same mother. And not only that, but they were born at the same time, you know. So this is somewhat, I guess, in a way, some of the aspects of that could be hard for us to understand. But I think what we need to make sure that we get, you know, is that this is not by natural birth. My children are not saved by virtue of the fact that Teresa and I were both converted before they were any of them were ever born. You know, and by virtue of being a child of Abraham did not make you automatically, you know, saved as far as the Jews were concerned. It's a good time to talk about this, I guess. The Old Testament saints, New Testament saints, Old Dispensation, New Dispensation, we're all saved the same way. They weren't saved a different way than we were. Did they have the light that we have? No. But Abraham, the Lord told the Jews, Abraham rejoiced to see my day and was glad. So when you think about, in Isaac shall thy seed, singular, be called, that's specific. What are we talking about? We're talking about Christ. You know, in Isaac shall, you know, this seed come through this line, not through Ishmael. You remember Abraham's like, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. You know, and God says, surely he will become a great nation. You know, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we're talking about the spiritual versus, you know, the natural. But you remember what Paul said in Romans 9, verse 3. He says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. There's the seed. Who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are all not all Israel which are of Israel. Let me say that again. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. So here's Jacob and Esau. They are not all Israel which are of Israel. It's not natural. It's spiritual. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children. So that's what we've been saying, right? We've been laboring that point. Just because they are offspring of Abraham does not make them this spiritual Israel. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. I mean, the scripture says it pretty plain there to us, doesn't it? I mean, I've been trying to lead to this point. But here it's plainly written to us, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. So, you know, Ishmael and Esau show that it is not by virtue of being a physical descendant. We've already said it's the same in our families. Our children are automatically converted. You know, we point them to Christ. But salvation is of the Lord. You know, are you a part of the olive tree? You know, that's something that we're asking ourselves this morning. Are we receiving of its fatness? You know, what is that word fatness there? I've already said it once. We could define it this way: richness. We know what something that is rich is, right? I mean, we eat things that are rich. I mean, there's some things that we've eaten before as a dessert that was so rich we couldn't even finish it. It was just too, you know, rich. We know what riches are, you know, when it comes to monetary things. We know what riches are in other ways, you know, but we think about this fatness of the olive tree. That word has to do with richness. And so what we looked at this morning with the vine and the branches, we can think about it in this way, you know, too. We're partaking of the richness, the fatness of the vine. What is the richness and the fatness of the vine? Well, in the vine and in the branches that we were looking at this morning, this is Christ. And there are riches that we have in Christ. There are eternal riches that we have in Christ. So when we think about all that the vine supplies to support that branch, that the branch may produce fruit, we think about the richness. So keeping, you know, with that thought, we think about what we read this morning in regards to the vine and the branches. Are we partaking of the fatness of this olive tree? Are we abiding in, you know, Christ? You know, what happened to those natural branches that were broken off? They were broken off because of what? What did it say in our text? They're broken off because of unbelief, right? We stand by faith. We're in this tree by faith. They were broken off because of unbelief. In other words, they were not, in reference to our vine and branches, they were not abiding in Christ. They were not believing upon Christ. They were not hoping in Christ. They were trusting in something else. So we could ask the question, what is your hope of heaven? It is Christ. Our only hope of heaven is Christ and Christ alone. Are we abiding in Christ? You know, many people have grown up, had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home. But like we said, that did not automatically register salvation for that for them. They grew up in some richness. They grew up in some fatness. They grew up around those things that other people did not grow up. But that did not secure their salvation. And the warning given to the Gentiles is that if they do the same thing that the Jews had done, they will find themselves being broken off. And then we carry it even further. What has been broken off can be grafted back in if they abide still not in unbelief. So we saw that as we read. The statement that we made last week was that the problem they had was their boasting. You know, we're Abraham's seed. And what did Paul, what did we read Paul say? If we're going to make our boast, if we're going to boast, let us boast in the Lord, right? And we said that any boasting, the statement that we made was that any boasting that does not have its foundation in Christ is what? Evil. Any boasting that does not have its foundation in Christ is evil. So in the sense of abiding in the vine, in the sense of, and not being one of those branches that's pruned off because it's not abiding in the vine, not abiding in Christ, or here partaking of the richness of the olive tree, this is what we're talking about in boasting against, you know, those things. And the Jews were boasting that they were physically, you know, the descendants of Abraham. You remember the Lord in different places, you know, one of the times I could raise up stones, you know, these stones as children unto Abraham, you know, so to speak. And you know, you're doing the things that Abraham wouldn't have done. So what a terrible thing pride is. And this month, when you think about pride, you know, that's something that's a big deal right now, isn't it? They've taken that word and they're using that word. This is pride month, you know, for them. And really, I could think of no better word for them, honestly. You know, gay pride parades. Pride, you know, they have pride in that. Isn't that what Romans 1 is talking about? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. I mean, what does it take for that to happen? God just to let a person go, right? who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet, or just, is what that word means. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit. I mean, some of these things, we read these things maybe 30 or 40 years ago, and in the context of where we're living right now, I mean, some of these things are taking a face, aren't they? Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters. I mean, there it is right there, right? Inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So, pride. Like I said, what a word. I mean, they're going to take something to define themselves, and they've taken this word, which is exactly what we see, you know, here. I mean, beyond that, I wasn't going to mention this, but beyond that, you think about the rainbow. I mean, you think about what that rainbow represented, right? You know, it's the promise of God that he was not going to flood the world again. I mean, what was happening before? Every thought of man was only on evil continually. And God sent a flood and wiped out all but Noah, you know, and his family. And so you have the judgment of God, and they're taking this promise in their pride. They're taking this promise and using it as a symbol. And in the end, what it's actually going to do is represent the judgment of God upon them. And it's not going to be water this time. It's going to be fire. Boasting themselves against God, against his law, against his son. What will God say to such men and women? Those who persist in their pride against him, what are they going to hear? What we said this morning, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. A fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Like we said this morning, can you imagine the chill, you know, of receiving that sentence? 1 Corinthians 6, 10 and 11 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? They think they're fine. They think their way they live is okay. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. You know, we're not just talking about those who are, I don't even know all the different letters they're using now. LGBTQ, I think, maybe is what defines it now. But, you know, along with that, we've got others, don't we, that are on the same plane. And in fact, before you get to them, you have fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, before you even get to those who abuse themselves with mankind. Nor thieves or covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But here's still the hope, right? Because we're not just pointing a finger. Because if we're going to do that, we're going to point a finger at the LB, you know, GTQ. We're going to point a finger at the adulterers. We're going to point a finger at the fornicators. We're going to, you know, it's not just one group of people. We have several groups of people that are mentioned here. But here's the hope. Such were some of you. There were some in Corinth that fit in those categories. Such were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified. It's in Christ. It's the vine and the branches. It's abiding in him. It's our hope and our standing. We're by faith we stand here. It's here we may find ourselves in one of those categories. but I can stand by faith in Christ and his death upon the cross, you know, for me, and be justified, you know, in the sight of God. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there is hope for any in that list, and some found salvation in Christ. He's the only hope for any of us. I was listening, I wasn't listening. I was reading a booklet that came to me in the mail, and it was on, you know, God's, what the Scripture says about homosexuality is what the title of the book was. And I kind of scanned through it as a small, you know, booklet. I believe John MacArthur had written it. But in the book, he relates a story of someone who was very, very, very high up, you know, in that community in California. And the Lord began to deal with him. And he began to be convicted. In fact, I think, you know, he knew that he was going to be dying within, you know, months. And he begins asking around, you know, what hope is there, you know, for me? And someone pointed him to Grace Community Church, which is where John MacArthur pastors. The Lord saved that man, and he spent the rest of his time, even unto his dying breaths upon his hospital bed, speaking to as many people. And like I said, he was high up in the organization there, so he knew a lot of people, speaking to them about the gospel. You know, so there's hope in Christ. So what is this olive tree? Is it physical Israel? I think we've said that that's not that. Otherwise, we being grafted in would be, you know, a Jew, but that's not the case. It'd be easy to think about it in that way when you talk about natural branches, but then we have us being grafted in. So what is it then? The olive tree is nothing short of, and we mentioned it briefly last week, but it's nothing short of the people of God. This is what the olive tree is. It's those of the old dispensation of the Jew who were saved. It's those of us, you know, now, you know, in this dispensation, you know, in the age in which we live, of the Gentiles that have been converted, been grafted in. They were on the inside track. We were on the outside and grafted in, you know, to the tree, so to speak. But the Jew who first received the oracles of God, and the Gentiles who have been grafted in as a result of that witness, because that's what they were given those things for, was to be a witness unto the Gentiles. And we see that in some places in the Old Testament. But both Jew and Gentile are of this olive tree. They're of the righteousness of God, which is by faith of the Lord Jesus Christ unto all and upon all that believe. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not for your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." There were some of those branches broken off because they were not in Christ. Christ was not in them. What do we read this morning on the vine and the branches? Abide in me and what's the rest of it? Abide in me and I in you, right? So the warning to the Gentile is against pride that would lead to their fall, even as it did unto the Jews. You know, the Gentile saying, "Well, you know, the Jews are out; we're in." Well, if you're in, you only stand by faith. You have no other standing if you're in, if you've been grafted in. Galatians 3:7-9 says, "Know you therefore that they which are of faith." So the standing we have is of faith. You know, Abraham, you know, walking by faith and not by sight. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, right? Okay. So know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Let's read that again. Know you therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Not physically, but spiritually, right? So we are of this olive tree spiritually because we are of faith, the same as Abraham. Save no different than Abraham. You know, Abraham needed the same salvation that we had need of, have need of. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that would be us, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations, or all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We're blessed along with Abraham. Why? Faith in Christ. Same as Abraham. Galatians 3:26, same chapter, further down, 26 through 29. For ye all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. It's not just the solitary, not just the Jew. It's the Greek also. It's not just Jew, just Greek. It's Jew and Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Promises made unto them are now ours. So we need to grasp the idea of the olive tree. Sorry. I was trying not to have to do that and drink that or drink something, but we need to grasp the idea of the olive tree as what? Not Israel. Not Gentile. Israel's out, we're in. We need to grasp the idea of the olive tree as what? The people of God. This is the people of God of both dispensations, because we have the Jew, you know, here in the old dispensation, the conversion, you know, right there was more Jew than Gentile. Now, you know, here we are, you know, in our dispensation, more Gentile than there is Jew. But then we have that to look forward unto. What Paul's talking about here is that they would be grafted, you know, back in to the being the natural branch into the natural, you know, tree. So we need to grasp the idea of the olive tree as the people of God, as a spiritual nation and not a natural one. What is it? By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Like we said, no different for Abraham than for us. Our standing is by faith in Christ, by whom we've been grafted in and partake of the fatness of the olive tree. Partakers of the riches of Christ. You know, there's different statements that are made in Scripture as far as, you know, partakers are concerned. But, you know, we've been made partakers of God Himself. We've been made partakers of Christ. We've been made partakers of the Holy Spirit. We're made partakers of eternity. We're made partakers of spiritual things that aren't naturally discerned. I mean, we've been made partakers in Christ of all these things. We've received the earnest of our inheritance, and there is a future fullness of the inheritance that is yet to come. So nationality does not matter. Doesn't matter that you're a physical descendant, which I don't think any of us could say here that we are, but it doesn't matter that you're a physical descendant of Abraham. By the same token, it doesn't matter that you're not a physical descendant of Abraham, right? What matters is faith in Christ. This is what grafts us into the tree. Be not high-minded, we read, but fear, for it is by faith, that we stand. We were outside, now we're inside. Now we're grafted into the tree. Now we partake of the richness and the fatness of the olive tree. Now salvation is ours. Now eternal things are ours. Now Christ is ours. So what a blessing. We've been grafted in. How? By faith. How'd you get that? By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What a gift that you've been given. You know, don't boast. What do you have to boast of? If you can boast, go ahead and boast. Boast in Christ. Boast in Him. There's our boast. I'm saved by the grace of God in Christ. I have nothing to boast in. I was worthy of hell. I was worthy of damnation. I had sinned against God. I'd broken His law. You know, there was no hope for me. But then somebody shared the gospel with me, and I saw, and God opened my eyes to see that there is hope in Christ. and that I have a standing in Christ. And by faith in him, I've now been grafted into this olive tree. I've been grafted into, what's the olive tree? The people of God. I'm now a child of God. Just spiritually speaking, I'm a child of Abraham even. You know, when you think about it in terms of faith, I am Abraham's seed, you know, in that sense. Yeah. And I know it's warm in here, isn't it? I see mom's over there fanning. I guess we'll have to get somebody to look at this, as I guess it's not cooling. But that's a trivial thing, isn't it, in comparison to what we have in Christ? That's a trivial thing, isn't it, in comparison to eternal things? That one day, these things, these trials, these troubles, these tribulations are going to be over. And I can look at each of you, and I can see things. I know things about your lives. I know things that are happening, you know, with you. I know things that you're having to endure that are daily, and it's a grind upon you. But the Lord has you where he wants you, and he's going to keep you, and he's going to preserve you. And there's a place, Peter says, reserved in heaven for you. And he'll give you strength, and he's going to support you, and he's going to aid you, because these are the things that he's given unto you to make you like Christ, to conform you into his image, to keep you abiding, you know, in him and abiding in the vine and producing fruit. And there are people that are watching, and there are people that are waiting to see how you're going to respond and how you're going to react. And there's people that are looking, you know, perhaps for hope. And they may come to you and say, what's the reason for this hope you have? And we're supposed to be ready to give an answer to any who ask us of the hope that's within us. But it's just that simple walk before the Lord, simply trusting every day, simply looking to him in everything. And people are watching, and people are observing, but God's being glorified in your life. God's being honored by the things that you say, by the things that you do, by the things that you don't say, by the things that you don't do. So we're partaking of this richness. Like we said this morning about, be holy for I am holy. Be perfect. I mean, here's this richness that's in us that says, Lord, I want to be perfect. Lord, I want to be holy. That's my desire. I long for the day when sin will be no more. I long for the day when I'll have no more trouble with these things. I'll have no more struggle against these things, but I'll just dwell in the completeness, in the complete richness of eternity, and the complete richness of all it is to be found in you and in heaven above forever and evermore. So you see, these are the things we're talking about this richness, this fatness, about the people of God and us being grafted in, and we stand by faith. All right. Well, let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. I heard that. Knives out, huh? To Puerto Rico next week. Okay. I'd starve if I was there. Dad might too. They'd probably starve living there, wouldn't you? we're used to our diet. There, it's I guess it's mostly fruit, right? I don't know, plantains. That's what I heard y'all come back with. I've never been, you know, but. No. it's kind of like the donut shop, the Dee Dee's Donuts. If you buy a dozen kolaches, then you get a half a dozen donuts free. So you order a plate there, you're going to get plantains. There's just an abundance of them. Yeah, Ryan was talking to the guy that owns a restaurant in town. We went to lunch there, and he was telling him, he said, they just got to give them to you. There's too many. Got to keep giving them to you. I don't know if his diet will change. I guess it may be similar now to what he'll have there. But I told him I found a place for them to attend, and as far as I know, they just speak Spanish. So I told him, I said, you've got to learn Spanish, or the Lord's going to give you the ability to understand Spanish. You know, even So, well, Josue, his dad doesn't speak English, but his mom does, and so if anytime I've gone there to preach, she's like having to tell him, you know, what I'm saying because he can't, you know, understand. But lost in translation, yeah, and these things would be lost in translation for us apart from what God's done, you know, in us. We wouldn't understand these things. Wouldn't care to understand them. You know, wouldn't want to understand them. Would rather you not even talk to me about them. You know, I'm fine. I don't need all that. And that's kind of what our attitude would be. All right. Any others? Okay. You've had them, brother. But that'll put a point on it, you know. Well, I know and I don't know that's what this is, you know. But I know the older I get, I think I told y'all the story about one time we were going to go on vacation. And it was a time that Andrew was going to be with us. And, you know, you kind of grow to depend upon the older ones when you have younger ones, you know, and it's just feeling fear tried to grip me and think, you know, how are you going to do this without them? Like, I'm an adult. I'm like, you know, but those things try to, you know, we've parented the first two, we parent the second two, you know. You know, that the devil certainly, and when the Lord lets the devil do something, you know, like that, what are we going to do? Lord help. You know, we're going to turn to him. We're going to abide in him. So in that sense, it's a good thing. It's not good for us to like in my situation, like I said, I don't know that's what anything like what Brother Wiseman's talking about. But in my situation, you know, it's not good for us to be afraid, but it's good for us to turn to the Lord. It's good for us to call upon him. It's good for us to depend upon him. It's good for us to rest in him. It's good for us to be confident in him and what he said in his word, the promises that are here, these are ours. This is the richness and the fatness of the olive tree. These things have been spoken unto us. So when we read these things, we don't say, well, that's in the Old Testament. That can't be for me. That was for the Jews. No. No, it's for us. It's ours. All these things are ours. Amen. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dad, would you pray for us?